From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's episode 100 of Around the Wood Stove, and we're dedicating the show to celebrating the Lancaster arts and creative scene and the arts renaissance that has been blossoming in our little central Pennsylvania city for several years now. Without this vibrant art scene, there would be little reason for the Wood Stove House to even exist, as our mission is all about helping you discover creative Lancaster. What was this city like 10 years ago for creatives, and how has it changed over the years? We're going to hear from several of our recent guests and Wood Stove House contributors, along with Jennifer Baker, the director of the Lancaster Mayor's Office of Special Events, or MOOSE. MOOSE, along with Lancaster Arts, two local nonprofits that have recently merged, have been catalysts in transforming the city and building a spirit of collaboration for local artists, producers, business owners, and nonprofit organizations.
I think people now are really seeing the city as the big picture and really saying, hey, if we work together, we can really do a lot more than what I can do on my own.
Coming up, it's episode 100, celebrating the Lancaster arts and creative scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove.
This is John Modern from Solid Side Vinyl, and I'm wishing Jason and the Wood Stove House a happy 100th episode.
Coming up this week on Friday, March 22nd, it's Songwriters in the Round at the Community Room featuring Sarah Lou Richards all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, along with two local favorites, Matt Wheeler and Letitia Joy. Coffee and tea will be provided at no cost, and you're welcome to bring your own beverages as well. The Community Room is located at 19 North Prince Street, on the third floor directly above Prince Street Cafe. A $5 suggested donation will be collected at the show. That's Sarah Lou Richards, Matt Wheeler, and Letitia Joy at the Community Room, Friday, March 22nd, 7 p.m. Then on Saturday night, the Wood Stove House Concert Series is back. On Saturday, March 23rd, we are excited to welcome two of the finest emerging regional artists, Katie Glorioso and Secondhand Suits. Katie is a wonderful singer-songwriter from York, Pennsylvania, who will be joined by guitarist Chris Flagel for a special stripped-down acoustic set. And then it's the acoustic, folk, blues, and gypsy jazz quartet from Lancaster, the Secondhand Suits. The Suits feature Tuck Ryan and Jordan Rast on guitars and vocals in the fabulous rhythm section of Peter Reist on bass and Evan Graver on drums. This will provide a remarkable evening of live original music in our intimate house concert setting. We will be collecting a suggested donation of $10 to $15 at the show. There's no need to donate in advance, but there are only a handful of limited seats left, so make your reservations today by emailing Jason at woodstovehouse.com. Visit our website, woodstovehouse.com, and click House Concerts on the Events menu for more details about the show. And check out episode 86 of this program for a full-length interview with Katie Glorioso. To round out an amazing weekend, Lancaster's own Jonathan Burns brings his show Stunt Lab to the area on Sunday, March 24th at 2 p.m. at the Allen Theater in Annville. Comedian, contortionist, and magician Jonathan Burns performed Stunt Lab several times last year in New York City with his collaborator Mark Hayward. The show was called Extremely Funny by the New York Times, and the two even landed a spot on the David Letterman Show. Don't miss this action-packed and hilarious show featuring the variety arts of Jonathan Burns and Mark Hayward. It's Stunt Lab, Sunday, March 24th at 2 p.m., and check out episode 45 of this program for a full-length interview with Jonathan Burns.
Hey there, Steve and Jason at Wood Stove. It's Mark DeRose. I got my party hat on to celebrate your 100th episode.
I'm Sarah Blacker from Boston.
This is Claire Campbell from Hope for a Golden Summer.
This is Chief Martin Brody with Creative Works of Lancaster, wishing a huge congratulations to the Wood Stove House on 100 episodes of Around the Wood Stove, only 1% of which actually included a sock.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. A little more than 3 years ago, this podcast started as a platform for me to have hopefully interesting conversations with artists about what they do and why they do it. With the help of my wife, Suzanne, and Wood Stove House partner, Steve Carlson, what followed that humble beginning until now was 99 episodes of the podcast, our Wood Stove House concert series, and a bunch of Wood Stove House produced creative events, including public concerts, theater, and even a creativity conference. Our website, woodstovehouse.com, has become the focal point of our blog and this podcast, both of which have a very focused mission: to help residents, potential residents, and other interested parties to discover creative Lancaster. While Woodstove House has been steadily growing over the years, we have by no means been working in a vacuum. Our entire existence rests on the incredibly vibrant arts and creative scene here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's an amazing place filled with a true spirit of collaboration, appreciation, and support for all of the arts. Lancaster is becoming a true arts destination in the Northeast. And that wasn't always the case. As recently as 10 years ago, Lancaster was pretty regular in terms of arts and culture. Now don't get me wrong, there has been a long tradition of the arts in Lancaster. For example, the Fulton Opera House, which is considered to be the nation's oldest continuously operating theater, is one of only 8 theaters to be named a National Historic Landmark. It opened in 1852. Since 1947, the community has enjoyed being the home for the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra. And since 1985, the Chameleon Club has been known nationally for its commitment to bringing the best touring popular music to Lancaster. If you've been living in Lancaster over the past 10 years, though, you can't deny that things have changed. An arts renaissance that started sometime in the middle of the last decade has been transforming this little city of 60,000 people into a true arts destination. Lancaster's reputation as a vibrant arts city has spread to regional and even national press, and we're seeing more and more people not only visit for the arts, but actually move to the area because of the arts. I've been involved in dozens of conversations about when, why, and how this all happened. And honestly, I don't think it's realistic to point to one, two, or even a handful of explanations. Part of the magic of Lancaster is that traditional arts institutions, grassroots organizations, and our city's government and business leaders all recognize the value of collaboration and working together to share in the work and rewards of making the arts a foundation for this city. It has taken a lot of different kinds of people and groups to get where we are, and it will take as many or more to keep it going. Today on the program, I'd like to focus on an important catalyst in this movement. The Mayor's Office of Special Events, or MOOSE, and another small nonprofit organization called Lancaster Arts recently merged into a single entity. When these groups originally formed between 5 and 7 years ago, they brought a tremendous amount of energy and support around the promotion of arts-related events and activities in the city, and have served as catalysts for movements that were started by artists and forward-thinking creatives. I'd like to start with an explanation of MOOSE, how it got started, and its role in what happens in Lancaster. Here's MOOSE director Jennifer Baker.
The Mayor's Office of Special Events is actually a nonprofit organization here within the city of Lancaster. We have a board of directors, and which the mayor serves on. And our focus is to produce special events for the city of Lancaster. We also manage all of the public space here in the city. So anyone wanting to rent a park or close a street, have a block party, they need to go through our activity permit application process. Okay. So we manage all of that. And then we also are a resource to others doing special events here in the city. So anyone who's doing an event, if they need help with logistics, marketing, sponsorship, we're here to help. So basically, we really want the events to be fantastic here in the city because we think events draw people here. We want people to have a great time at the events. We want them to come back. So we really want quality events here in the city. So one of our roles is to help them produce great events.
So it's separate from the mayor's office itself.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we're actually an organization here within the city.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been around?
The Mayor's Office of Special Events has been around since 2006. Special events, though, have been part of the city for a long time, going back to probably 98. Before that, the Downtown Investment District used to do the
okay.
events. When Mayor Gray came on board in 2006, he really enjoyed the events and the arts and wanted to elevate that. And also wanted to explore different ways to get funding for the events, as our funding sources are varied. So he decided to form the Mayor's Office of Special Events into a nonprofit organization.
Okay. Were you involved at that time?
I came on board at the end of 2006. I actually started here in 1999 and was I was a special events manager when Charlie Smithgall was mayor.
Okay.
And then in 2005, I left to be vice president of a marketing firm downtown, and then the mayor asked me to come back at the end of 2006.
What is your role, and has it changed since then?
No, I've always been the director. So my role is pretty much fundraising, strategic direction, marketing, PR, communications, community outreach.
Okay.
And then we have a special events manager that does all of the events and manages the use of public space. And then back in August, we hired a communication specialist. So she does all of our social media for Moose and also for the city of Lancaster, which we're going to be getting into early this year.
While Moose manages all special events happening in the city, Lancaster Arts has been focused specifically on the promotion of the arts. Since its formation, Lancaster Arts and its website, lancasterarts.com, has been under the direction of Liz Lambert until the merger with Moose happened late last year.
They were formed 5 years ago, so it would have been right around, right a little bit after Moose was formed. And there was a consultant that came to town by the name of Todd Bressy, who kind of came in and looked at the arts culture here and really made a recommendation that there needs to be an organization that's purpose is to promote the arts here in the city, to elevate the city as an arts destination. So that's when Lancaster Arts was formed. Their main purpose was to ensure the sustainability of the arts here in the city. So with that was marketing. And at one point, they coordinated Art Walk for the city for a couple of years. Of course, then, you know, of course, the promotion of First Friday. They also got a grant from the Lancaster County Community Foundation to do a really large regional marketing campaign for the city.
The ever-growing popularity of Lancaster's First Fridays have often been cited as the cornerstone for the arts renaissance. Art galleries and local shops stay open late. Performing arts venues program special events. Musicians and street performers entertain from anywhere they can find a good spot. And the entire city booms with energy. LancasterArts.com has done a fantastic job over the years offering resources for residents and visitors to make the most out of visiting downtown Lancaster on the first Friday of each month. But First Fridays weren't originally started by Lancaster Arts or Moose. They've been happening for much longer.
I think it's now 14 years.
Wow.
First Fridays have been around, and it was started by a small group of art galleries that came together and said, hey, why don't we start, you know, doing something? And you know, on a consistent basis, like First Friday, like really saying, here's a night to come downtown and explore the galleries. So probably around, 2004, 2005, the Lancaster Alliance and the Downtown Investment District got together and really started to kind of promote the arts. They did some theme nights with each month, did some activities around that. More and more galleries started signing on to that as well. Of course, having, you know, wine and, you know, cheese downtown, you know, started drawing people as well. So that's when we really started to see, you know, the crowds coming down.
First Fridays really started to take hold around 2004. But even then, they weren't nearly what they have become since. Here's local musician Dan Zadilla from the band The Slackwater News.
Yeah, I remember the first couple years, I'd be like, all right, the first Friday, let's go. And I get down and it was like 7:45 and I was like, oh, I missed it, you know. But now it's really not the case anymore.
No. Several musicians who are now staples in the Lancaster music scene, like Vinegar Creek's Leo DeSanto, were just starting to play out when First Fridays took off.
So I started doing all these art galleries and street shows and things on First Friday as a solo performer and, you know, little jazz combos with Trixie Griner or something like that. And so it was kind of an eye-opening experience to see, oh, wow, there's all this kind of creative energy on the streets in Lancaster that I wasn't really aware of when I was just playing in one nightclub once a month, or, you know, not playing at all before that. So yeah, I feel like I was experiencing a period of growth as my city was and creatively. And
playwright Barry Kornhauser, manager of the Family Collaborative Arts Program at Millersville University, has been living and working in Lancaster for over three decades and has lived through many changes in the local art scene.
Yeah, well, First Friday is an interesting phenomenon, and it is, and that's something that has grown and is really pretty remarkable anymore. It's fun to see this city so alive and to know that it's drawing people well beyond the boundaries of the community who are coming because they've heard about it. And you know, I'm always hoping that every night's a First Friday night, and, you know, that we have a first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because, again, it's just nice to see the town so active and everybody enjoying themselves so much. And I think what that has done is, again, it's the kind of thing, the more art you have, the more that happens. It's just spurred a lot of energy and people wanting to create more.
While artists and creatives were beginning to pay attention and take advantage of First Fridays around 2005, LancasterArts.com really helped put it on the map a couple years later.
They did a great job in promoting First Friday, and this is a great time to come down to the city to see the galleries, the museums, really get to see different exhibits and things like that. They really did a great job of promoting that and packaging that for guests. You know, the website was a great tool for that. They did a great brochure that kind of listed everything that was downtown and actually developed some walking tours of mm-hmm. the city and the arts district. So
all year round, Lancaster's First Fridays are a citywide showcase of the arts in downtown Lancaster. It's not uncommon these days, especially during the warmer months, to see thousands upon thousands of people on the streets enjoying a Friday evening in Lancaster. It's a consistent and very tangible reminder each month that Lancaster is an arts destination.
Hey, Woodstove House, it's Linda Davis from Music Makers of Lancaster.
Hey, this is Jesse Baker.
Hi, this is Heather Krupp, and I want to wish the Woodstove House a very happy 100th episode.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Woodstove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today we're celebrating episode 100 of this podcast and the Lancaster arts and creative scene. For several years in Lancaster, we have been enjoying an arts renaissance that has been set in motion by forward-thinking creatives, supported by our longtime traditional arts institutions and fueled by Mayor Rick Gray, in organizations like the Mayor's Office of Special Events and Lancaster Arts. I wanted to get a sense from some of the artists and musicians who actually live and work here in Lancaster what it has been like over the past decade for those who call Lancaster home. Here's local singer-songwriter and Woodstove House contributor, Mike McMonagle.
Having grown up in Lancaster, you know, being born and raised here, we were basically told growing up to stay out of the city. The city was not a place to go to. I maybe passed through on my drive to high school, but that was about it. We seldom came downtown.
Right.
I will say one little asterisk there is that the first time I ever performed live, and the first time I ever performed a self-written song live was about sophomore year of my high school. There's the place Zotropolis,
right,
which at the time was located on West Lemon Street, where the Boys and Girls Club was. And so, but outside of that experience, I did not go downtown ever. So,
wow.
Fast forward a bunch of years, I went to college, moved down to Arlington, Virginia, and it was when I did the bulk of my songwriting because I was kind of, you know, away from home and didn't really have a huge social network, so I had a lot of time to myself, and I was inspired by that change in scenery. I moved home and found out that everything was happening downtown. There's these art galleries that are opening. There's music showcases. At the time, the first time, having moved home in November of 2009, coming out of sorts, musically speaking, was at the dispensing company. Tony Kirkner was putting together this, it was actually branded with Launch's name on it as well.
I remember
and,
that.
And it was like a once a month singer-songwriter showcase. And so I came home and I, you know, had his pocket full of songs and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll do it. And went up there and played and, I was really surprised, at how many people came out to that show. And there was a showcase. They weren't there for me. It was there for the entire experience. But that was even more telling of it, that it was a showcase. It wasn't like one performer drawing someone out. There was three or four of us that were on that bill. And at the end of it, we all played a song together off the cuff. We just like, what do you guys want to play? And we did it. And so that kind of opened my eyes to how much collaboration was starting to happen musically. And then
from Creative Works of Lancaster and Fulton's Academy of Theater, here's Woodstove House contributor Joanna Underhill.
I do remember, you know, weekends thinking, oh, there's nothing going on except, you know, I don't want to go see a movie or go bowling. That was the early part. And then now it's, you know, not only the First Fridays and things like that, it seems that just blossomed. And now we've got people are really invested in creating more and more arts in this community and events and experiences for people out and about. For me, maybe the turning point too was earlier, like in the 2000s, I think, I mean, I was living and working in Lancaster, but I still had part of me, had always had an eye of where am I going to go next? What am I going to do next? I would probably every 6 months look online for maybe teaching jobs in a different city or even theater jobs, just thinking, I can't spend the rest of my life in Lancaster. But really, probably around 2009 and going on was when I made the decision that, you know, I can stay here. There are things for me to do here. There's enough for me to do here to keep me interested. And there's actually a community that I feel I can contribute to and be a part of at the same time.
Once again, singer-songwriter Leo DeSanto.
When I was younger and I was, you know, starting out as a musician and playing my first shows, now it's hard to look back and see how much of that, you know, that desolate creative landscape was because I hadn't learned how to look at it yet or because it wasn't, you know, because it just wasn't as fertile as it is now, which I don't think there's any question that it wasn't. But I'd certainly thought I would have to move somewhere else, you know, to make music. And now whenever people ask me if I don't I intend to move to Nashville or something like everyone does, move to some big music town, I say, hell no. I love the Lancaster scene here. I can travel to play wherever I want to play. I can send my music all over the world on the internet, you know, instantly. So why should I leave, you know, what's such a great, tight-knit creative community here now?
And from the Slackwater News, it's drummer Matt Blank and singer-guitarist Dan Zadella.
My only idea in life was I had to move away from Lancaster, you know, whether it was Philly or New York or California, or, you know, I had all my crazy ideas.
Sure.
Just Lancaster didn't have what I wanted. I came back from school. I went to Penn State. I came back and got back into seeing some of the bands, some of the guys I kind of knew from high school and my own music or whatever it was. And seeing it blossom has been incredible. And it's, you know, sometimes you hear people, they're not too happy with whatever it may be, but I think it's awesome for everybody. But I mean, I love it. I feel like in general, the art scene here is still on its way up. And I think that's great. It's good for everybody.
You know, growing up in Lancaster, I always thought that Lancaster was cool. Like the city was neat when I was a kid, just because I thought it was just like this big city. And I'm from a rural area. But when I was in college, I went to Millersville, which is not far away. But, you know, my first couple of years, I never came to Lancaster. And then I got an apartment in Lancaster. And I remember at the time, everybody's like, oh, why do you want to live in Lancaster? You know, like, it was such a dumb move. Everybody thought it was such a dumb place to get out. But I wasn't, like, cool and forward-thinking. I just thought the buildings were neat and it was cheap and it was like a bike ride to Millersville. And I just can't imagine that it's the same place that it is now. I mean, that was not that long ago. That was maybe 10 years ago tops, where it was just kind of this place that most people didn't want to live. And now it's the place everybody wants to live.
Moose director Jennifer Baker has been intimately involved in the changing city over the past 15 years and points to the growing spirit of collaboration as the key.
It's been amazing because I've been here, you know, working here since 99. So I've kind of been part of this whole change, or watching it actually. And it just has been amazing, the collaborations that have come, especially the last few years, people really working together, because you didn't see that early on. It was a lot of people kind of focused on, I'm going to focus on, you know, what we're producing here, and we're going to just promote that, and we're just going to promote whatever event we've got going on or whatever it is, or we're going to just promote my store. I think people now are really seeing the city as the big picture and really saying, hey, if we work together, we can really do a lot more than what I can do on my own.
Playwright Barry Kornhauser agrees that collaboration across the entire community is a big part of these recent changes. There have been several smaller renaissances in the art scene over the decades, but none like this one.
Yeah, I think the difference is, and I don't mean to use this word poorly, institutionalized, in a sense that what I see happening now is a lot of community support, even governmental support, and maybe not in dollars necessarily, but at least in the notion that this is valuable to our community and we want it to be happening and we're going to, you know, be there. I mean, the mayor's at lots of these events, which is a great thing. And of course, his wife's a visual artist, you know, so I mean, he clearly has an interest and understands the value of that to a community and whatnot. But in that sense, I think it's and organizations and institutions in the community that might not have been directly related to the arts starting to see that there is a connection and this is valuable too and we want to be part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have lots of wonderful partnerships. So I think that's what's different. You know, there were these groups and they lasted for some time and then they sort of stopped. And part of it was because it was such a struggle to get the support or even sometimes to get an audience, whether it be because I'm afraid to be in Lancaster or I don't know you exist or there's not the money for marketing and there's not the media, you know, connection. But all of that seems to be improving.
Well, it's working and the word is getting out. Here's Mike McMonagle.
We're gaining an identity of music. And just 2 days ago, a friend of mine who lives out in Philadelphia, who's from Lancaster, said that he met someone at the bar he works at, and they just got to chat, and while he was, you know, working as a customer, and came to light that he was from Lancaster, and the guy's like, you know, I've been meaning to get out there. I've been hearing great things about it. It's like a pretty hip town. And he just laughed because, you know, again, we have this home notion of, it's, you know, it's just Lancaster. It is what it is. But that outsiders are getting the word, and you start seeing more and more things like USA Today and CNN and other, you know, national identities like that in the media that are picking Lancaster as a great place to live, great place to raise a family, great place to encounter the arts.
Franklin and Marshall professor and Woodstove House contributor John Modern has been living in Lancaster for about 7 years. And he sees the choice to live here as a no-brainer.
I think it feels, the perception that it is getting more arty and more vital and just a little, you know, just a little more urban in that kind of classic kind of cultural sense. I absolutely do feel it in terms of restaurants, in terms of, you know, artistic venues, in terms of, you know, movie theaters that are opening up, in terms of different spaces. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also, I just think it's inevitable, right? I mean, as we live in a world where you don't have to live in New York or Baltimore or D.C. or Philadelphia, and you can have the same job with the same salary and live a couple hours away and do telecommuting and maybe come into work once a week or something like that to see real people, why wouldn't you move to Lancaster? Why, right? I mean, particularly if you have kids and a family.
Absolutely.
Crazy. I mean, it's this dirty little secret. I feel very lucky to live here.
Happy 100th episode from Andrew
and Sarah Zahn.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Matt Wheeler.
Hey, this is Brooke Annabelle.
Hey, Broken Fences here.
Hi, I'm Jenny Hill from Acts of Genius.
This is Lydia Brubaker from Creative Works of Lancaster. Wishing the folks at Woodstove House a very happy 100th episode.
At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. Today on the program, we're celebrating 100 episodes of the program and the Lancaster arts and creative scene. We've heard from several artists now on how the city of Lancaster has been transformed. A major catalyst in that transformation came from the Mayor's Office of Special Events and Lancaster Arts, two small nonprofit organizations started by the city over 5 years ago that have recently merged. Here's Moose Director Jennifer Baker on how these organizations came together.
Lancaster Arts was 5 years old last year. So, and I think when they revisited their strategic plan and looked at what their goals were, they felt that they really had met those goals, that they had taken Lancaster Arts to where they really wanted to take it. At that point, there were some conversations here at the city and with Moose and with the James Street Improvement District and some few others about where to take Lancaster Arts, where to take it to that next level. So as discussions went on, it kind of came out that, you know, it would kind of make sense for Moose and Lancaster Arts to merge, to have one organization that's promoting not just the events, but also the arts here in the city. So it was just kind of a natural progression.
As a creative in Lancaster, I was curious how the merger has affected the role of each organization.
Right now, Moose is still focused on the events and producing great events here. And we're still managing Lancaster Arts as it has been managed to be that entity that promotes the arts. So right now we're managing separate websites for each, separate social media for each. And right now we have a grant from the Lancaster County Community Foundation to see what's the best way to merge these two organizations. You know, what does the future of Moose and Lancaster Arts look like? You were part of a variety of focus groups that mm-hmm. we did at the end of February, where we talked to a variety of arts and Moose stakeholders to see what is the best way to promote the arts. What are we missing? How can we take it to the next level? And we really want everyone's feedback. So we had art presenters there. We had art makers there. We had commercial businesses here. We had stakeholders, funders. I mean, we really are trying to get a great, you know, variety of people that are affected by the arts. So I'm really excited about the potential. So right now we're kind of keeping everything kind of status quo.
Yeah.
And then, because we want to do it the right way and we want to do it the smart way. and really listen to everybody and what the needs are for those that live and work here.
So what about the artists? I asked our guests what was one thing that didn't exist today that they'd like to see in the Lancaster art scene 5 years from now. Here's F&M professor and Wood Stove House contributor John Modern.
I would like to see a film festival. A film festival. That's what I would like to see.
Theater professional Joanne Underhill and musician Leo DeSanto would like to see even more collaboration.
I'd like to see more opportunities for kids and different neighborhoods to come together and work, more cooperation. I think it'd be great if there were more, this may exist and I'm just not in the loop, but I'd love to see even more collaboration between organizations. If the Ware Center could work with Millersville as well as Franklin Marshall and maybe even Fulton or Creative Works, and there is a drama storytelling writing workshop hour that happens on after school or Saturday afternoons. I would love more programs that integrate kids at an earlier age and also kids of different socioeconomic levels blending together and doing these kind of out-of-school experience workshops that I think will then, you know, promote the next generation of our really cool artsy, craftsy, fun people here in Lancaster.
I guess more events or venues or scenarios where collaboration can happen between different musicians or artists. I know in some cases this does, and you know, I've actually tried to do something about this myself on occasion. I host a show, a dispensing company called the Lancaster Original Music Review. Sometimes some of the guest artists are from out of town. They're usually mostly locals, and we have about five during the course of a night. And kind of the point of that, the hope for that was that, you know, people who never get to see each other play or interact musically because they're all out doing their own gigs, which is a common syndrome. All of us complain about it. Like, hey, I wanted to go see you the other night, you know, but I couldn't. So hopefully getting more of those people in the same room and kind of instead of the healthy competition, have a more of a healthy, you know, symbiosis there. Just kind of a everybody getting people to the same place. So.
Moose director Jennifer Baker and musicians Mike McMonagle, Matt Blank, and Dan Zadilla are interested in more music venues.
I'd like to see more concerts here, like a larger venue where we can do some really great shows here. I think we could do some, we've done great shows like at the convention center and things like that, but I think we need to see more of that, larger shows bringing larger acts here. And
I think it'll be great to see more more music venues in this town. I think we're ready for it. I think from a business side of things, where we're geographically located, it's a perfect stopover for up and coming indie bands and, you know, artists that are, you know, still only asking for $150-$200 to play a show, and they're hungry for new audiences. And I think the Lancaster provides a great audience for that. You know, there's an active listenership.
Personally, I would like to see more venues for music. I like the Chameleon. I think it's a great club. I love to play there, but I would like to see I feel like this town has one good club, a legitimate club, and has a lot of other good places, but they're all like super cool little bar or a super cool coffee shop that has people play there or a super cool art gallery that has people play there. And all those things are great and needed, and I've played at all those things and enjoyed them. But I'd like to see another legitimate rock and roll club with a killer sound system and a stage that can pack in, you know, 400 people. And I would love to see that. And I sort of feel like when people from out of town come to town, like touring acts, they're like, oh, Chameleon. I feel like they get the sense that that's all Lancaster has to offer. And it's almost like Lancaster's too big to only have one club. And it sort of gives the impression that it's something a little smaller than it is because it's like the one club in town.
I also think we need a theater. I mean, York has this nice theater now that's getting a little bigger acts. And jazz, I'm such a nerd for jazz. And there's just like, I feel like the first thing of the artistic renaissance should be, at least musically, should be jazz. I guess I don't think like everyone else, but yeah, and another thing.
And I'd like to see some less safe art galleries, to be honest with you. I'd like to see some visual art. As far as visual arts go, I'd like to see that get pushed a little bit. That are, you know, they tend to be safe, and that's Lancaster. I mean, Lancaster's a super conservative place, and it's in a way kind of amazing that it's as progressive as it is, but it could go a little further.
Playwright Barry Kornhauser is for the arts to live everywhere.
I would love to see, when you talked about spaces that are built for the arts, I would like to see so many more arts happening in spaces that have nothing to do with the arts. You know, in warehouses and funky little places and alleyways and things of that sort. I loved the poetry path, and I have a secret dream project to extend that, you know, with what I'm calling the parody path, which is kind of all this Dada-esque art. And I have all these projects in mind. I just don't have the artistic skill to create them, you know, but I like public art. I like art being in our face. I like, you know, and the fact that you can interact with it. So, you know, I just like to see a city of the arts. You know,
the future of the Lancaster arts scene couldn't be more exciting. The energy around the arts and creativity that we're enjoying in this city is contagious. And the collaborative spirit between both large and small arts organizations, artists and producers, local business and government leaders, and those who support all kinds of art will ensure that Lancaster gets even better in the years to come. Moose director Jennifer Baker has her own vision and hope for Moose and how they can continue to contribute.
I really would like to see us be that umbrella organization that is here to promote everything that is going on in the city. The arts, the events, the performing arts, the fine arts, the visual arts, you know. Really would love to get the youth involved in the arts more here in the city. I really think they're an untapped resource. And seeing how maybe we can help, you know, as arts programs are kind of dwindling in schools and things like that,
right.
Really providing more opportunity here for the youth to experience the arts here in the city, and more grassroots things. You know, really promoting all of the arts here, you know, not just a couple components of it, but everything.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, this is fun.
And best of luck with the merger and all that the future holds for Moose.
Thank you.
You can keep up with all things Moose at LancasterCityEvents.com and LancasterArts.com. From there, you can connect with Jennifer and her team on Facebook and Twitter or sign up for their email newsletters. You can also link up from the show post for today's episode on our website, WoodStoveHouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post. Give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show.
Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.